It's 4:39. You've got downtown guests of the show heard every day on the Tiller and Rye telephone line. Locally grown produce, local meats, natural foods, beer, wine, and more. Tiller and Rye, they are your local grocers on the corner of Main and Wilson Streets in Brewer. Crazy. Tuesday afternoon here, Red Sox getting ready to retire Pedro Martinez, number 45, tonight at Fenway Park right before they take on the White Sox again. Wade Miley gets the start against Jeff Samardzija tonight. And a busy day all around Major League Baseball. Clay Buchholz placed on the 60-day DL. Geez, and I thought he'd be back right away, too. Let's talk a little baseball right now with our friend Paul Swiden. You know him from the Boston Globe, FanGraphs, Hardball Times. Paul, welcome back to downtown.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rich. How are you doing today?
Always great talking with you. Well, it's fun watching everything that goes on. When the Red Sox are out of the race, at least we can focus on trades around the league. But before we get to that, I have to ask you, I didn't see anything on the internet or on TV about you leaping onto the field and going after Joe Kelly last night, so I assume everything's okay.
Yeah, we made it through okay. He settled down at least and kept them in the game, so that was nice, but, after those first couple batters, it was, here we go again.
What do they do with this guy? I mean, yeah, there's been talk about the bullpen, but is he going to be any better there?
I think he will be, because he's got the two pitches. He can pump the fastball, and he's got a decent breaking ball, but he doesn't have the repertoire, and it seems like he just doesn't have, you know, the mind, I guess, for starting. You know, he doesn't seem to mix his pitches well enough to keep hitters off balance. And maybe that's on his catchers, but, you know, with Hannigan last night out there, I have a hard time believing that.
Shane Victorino off to Los Angeles last night. Is this just the start of the purge of unneeded veterans?
It should be. You know, we've heard rumors that the Pirates are in on Mike Napoli, and, you know, I think they should trade him to the Pirates before he erases any more of his trade value. He certainly didn't do himself any favors last night, tossing his helmet down after he struck out in the first inning. But it certainly should be. They put Deaza up in the two hole tonight, so hopefully that's to showcase him one last time and get him another team. I mean, he'd be a good fit on any number of teams, just as a good fourth outfielder that can do a little bit of everything. So, if they have to at least get rid of those two guys this week.
I think an interesting decision coming on Koji Uehara, who's got about $12.5 million left on his contract. He's racked up the saves this year, but also has not been the same guy and is not getting any younger. What do you think happens with him?
You know, I think they'll hang on to him. I think a lot is going to depend on what happens with Papelbon and Aroldis Chapman. There's a new rumor out that the Diamondbacks want Aroldis Chapman, and the thinking there is that if they get Chapman, they would turn him into a starter because they obviously don't need a bullpen since they're still terrible. So if that happens and he's off the market, that's one extra reliever that can be traded somewhere. So that would seem to help the potential return for Koji. But I think, in the Red Sox position, they need a total bullpen revamp, and keeping Uehara for next year, it's just one less guy they'd have to find. I don't know that that's worth it. Not a lot of 41-year-old closers out there, so I would strike while the iron's hot and move him.
Speaking of Jonathan Papelbon, rumors today that Washington is very interested, although they have a closer and a pretty good one in Drew Storen, and Papelbon has said he doesn't want to be anyone's setup man. What will happen there?
I think Drew Storen will kick and scream and then accept his setup role because he'll have a chance to pitch in October, and I think that's a good move for the Nationals. They kind of seem like the team that kind of needs a little kick in the pants right now. They're letting the Mets hang around. They've had a bunch of guys that are banged up. I think getting Papelbon is a good move for them and a wise move, because you don't really worry about Papelbon being afraid of the big stage. Drew Storen, on the other hand, has had notable mishaps at the end of games in the playoffs. So maybe that's not fair to him, but you know, I think it's a good move for Washington.
Paul Swagnon of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. Well, the most fascinating trade, I think, is the one that broke last night between the Colorado Rockies and the Toronto Blue Jays. The face of the franchise for a lot of years, Troy Tulowitzki, going to Toronto for young guys and Jose Reyes. How do you size this one up?
Well, I've always said, I used to work for the Rockies, and I've always said they wouldn't trade Tulowitzki unless they got a shortstop back in return that they could turn and showcase to the fans and say, look, you know, we still have a good shortstop on the team. And that's kind of what they did here. They saved themselves some money in the long run, but they probably won't be investing that in the free agent market. They almost never foray into the free agent market anymore. But I think this is about the pitchers, and this is about selling Reyes as a solution for the present, if not the future. Reyes is in not a deep decline, but he's not what he used to be. He's not an all-star shortstop anymore. So, I don't think the Rockies got enough, but I can understand the logic that went into the trade.
It's certainly a great pickup for Toronto. Tulowitzki is an elite player, but he can't close games, and he's not a starting pitcher. Did they get something they actually needed?
I think so, because the value of a run is the same whether you're scoring it or preventing it. And there are sometimes some extra gains to be had from really filling out that lineup completely. We've all seen what happens in a long rally. You know, you get a starter going and going and going, and the next thing you know, you've put four runs on the board and the pitcher's thrown 60 pitches by the third inning. And that has gains, both tangible on the scoreboard and intangible, that you've got to get the bullpen working harder. And, so I think that's a good thing. But I also think the Blue Jays are going to get a starter. There's already rumors that they're after Ian Kennedy. And there's a lot of starting pitchers out there that are better than their number five starter, old friend Felix DeBrunt.
Paul, are you surprised at how active the Royals have been? They made the big deal for Johnny Cueto, and then today picking up Ben Zobrist from the Oakland A's. This is an aggressive approach to things by the Royals.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised. I think it's great. It's a team that's been hungry for a winner for years, and they've always said they've stuck to their guns. They said, when we get good, we will make the moves necessary to become really good, and they've done that. And I think that's great that they've stayed by their word, and they're not trying to be cheap. David Glass, the owner, who, you know, was part owner of Walmart, is a very rich man. And for a lot of years, they were criticized for being so cheap. But they're taking on salary, and they're making a push, and it's the right time. They're the best team in the American League, at least by their record. And there's nothing to stop them, really, from getting back to another World Series now that they've got Cueto and Zobrist.
Paul, tonight the Red Sox honor Pedro Martinez after his Hall of Fame induction. They'll retire his number 45 at Fenway Park. When you look at his statistics compared to everything else that was going on around him in the league at that time, can you make a case that he's not only the best Red Sox pitcher of all time, but the best pitcher of his generation?
You can make the case. I think you have a hard time standing him up against Randy Johnson. We did this back in January with the Globe. We ran a big section around the announcement. And I think Randy Johnson was just a little bit better, but on a career basis. Mm. Johnson was a dominant for a longer period of time.
Right.
When you're trying to look at the best seasons ever, I think that's where you can make the case for Pedro. That 99 through 2003 stretch was, if not the best, one of the five best five-year stretches in baseball history. And he missed part of the 2002 season with the shoulder injury. So, or the 2001 season, excuse me, with the shoulder injury. So, it's really remarkable. I mean, when you get up to that stratosphere, it's almost a little silly to debate who's the best versus who's the second best, but yeah, you can make the case for Pedro, certainly.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun here to watch Major League Baseball the next few days as we come up on a trade deadline that looks to be infinitely more interesting than last year's.
Last year's was pretty interesting. I mean, we had we had something like 40 trades or something go down on that last day. I remember at Fangraphs, I wrote 6 pieces, which was easily my all-time record for one day. But this trade deadline is shaping up to be just as exciting, which is great.
Paul, always great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us, and we hope you're a very busy man these next few days.
I hope so, too. Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Paul. It's 10 before the top of the hour here on Downtown.